you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day and that it's been a good weekend. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to interview Norm Miller, who worked his way up from being a salesman with Interstate Batteries to being the CEO and chairman. And now his son runs the company these years later. But he is an example, in my view, of someone who has sought to work hard and to do well, but to do well with his work for the glory of God. And so I really enjoyed talking with him, and I believe that on this Labor Day, you're going to find this interview from years gone by a great blessing. God bless you, and I hope you're going to have a great week.
My guest today is Norm Miller. He's chairman of Interstate Battery System of America, and it is a delight for me to have him on the program. I want you to know, folks, that the reason I asked him on the program is because his company's been doing some commercials lately on television, and I don't spend a lot of time in front of the tube, but I kept seeing these commercials, and I almost had to do a double take and be sure I was really getting it right. Here's a secular company, so-called. Batteries. And they're talking about what we really need is the love of God. And I thought, that's great. They said almost nothing about their company, but it made me want to run out and replace all my batteries. So I asked my assistant to please find out who is this, what are they up to, and I was really excited about what I learned. Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Battery System of America, is on the show with us today. And Norm, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
If you would, tell us, to begin with, how you came to know Christ, because I know that you have a wonderful testimony, and Christianity for you is not some theory. It's a living reality. Tell us about what Christ has done for you.
I grew up in Galveston, Texas,
and
a lot of people don't know it, but Galveston was founded by a pirate in the early 1800s. It's an island. And so its history, is jaded with wine, women, song, gambling, prostitution. And it's not now. I don't want to say anything like that. It all changed in 1956. But when we moved there in 1943, I was 5 years old, and Galveston was a bustling, bawdy port war town. And so I grew up in the middle of all of that kind of culture. So I started drinking at age 15 and 14, and then just carousing and living a party lifestyle. That was kind of like the everything I saw, what everybody did. And that's kind of the way I grew up.
Sure.
And it all caught up with me when I was 35 years old. I ended up with a whole drinking problem, alcoholic thing, and in the midst of that. Blurted out, "God help me, I can't handle it."
Praise
and,
God.
And it wasn't even a prayer. It was more like if I had hit my thumb with a hammer or something, just a response.
Yeah.
And along at the same time, within 2 weeks of that whole thing being an event, I had I'd gone through this thinking process that I had accomplished a bunch of goals that I had set for myself early. And here I was 35, and not only was I not, I thought I was supposed to be happy, and not only was I not happy, but I was all, I'm trying to think of the word, I was just real uptight and nervous and drinking a lot and wondering, hey, what's the deal here? I thought I was supposed to have a happy life by now.
Yeah.
And those two things all occurred within the realization of each within a couple of weeks, and a friend came to me and started telling me about the Bible. And I said, the Bible. And I said, well, why would I want to read that? And he said, well, it's the word of God given to man exactly as he intended it.
Mm.
And I said, you know, it's an old book by old guys a long time ago. And he said, no, it's the word of God. And I said, well, all right, prove it. And so I thought I'd run him off, and he came back in a couple of weeks. Not a couple of weeks, a couple of days.
Yeah.
And he brought me some material and books and pamphlets and stuff about the Bible. I didn't start reading the Bible, but I started reading about it to see if a person with an intellect, with a brain, could actually embrace it as truth.
Yeah.
And I went through, you know, the whole thing about archaeology and antique manuscripts and fulfilled prophecy from Old Testament, New Testament. And so I did all this study, and I said, there's too much data here. So I'm going to see what the thing says about me. So then I started reading the Bible. I started going to a Bible study, and I came across the scripture that said the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know it says more now, but I didn't even read that. I just saw that. I thought, wow, that's what I want.
Yeah, amen.
If I got love, joy, and peace, I got it. And so I said, you know, how do you get, what's this Spirit thing? It says the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I said, what's this Spirit deal? How do you get this Spirit? So then I went on and read, you know, like in Romans where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I knew that I had. I didn't have any problem with that. And then it said this, my sin, you know, made a separation between me and God, and that I needed to receive Christ. Christ was his only begotten Son who died on the cross, paid for, you know, my sins, the sins of the world. And I didn't have any problem with me being a sinner. I mean, I knew that. And so I told God, you know, I want whatever you've got. And so I prayed in May 1974.
Wow.
I told God I was sorry for my sin and that I wanted to receive Christ. And having put his Spirit in my heart and helped me be, you know, what he created me to be. And that was, 44 years ago, 34.
Now you're asking me to do math. Yes, that's 34 years ago.
34 years. Sometimes it seems like 44, sometimes 24.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tremendous. And you were 35 at the time.
35 at the time. And, you know, the thing when I get a chance to speak, the thing I say is that, you know, I had a need and I had a realization of truth and I acted on it, on what I saw as the truth. And now I've got 34 years of practical trust that I,
praise God.
Not only was it an intellectual embracement, but it was also now I still have that and more data.
Amen.
And in plus 34 years of experience.
Amen. Walking it out. Well, you know, the marvelous thing is, and I appreciate your sharing as honestly as you have, you know, you described yourself as having an alcohol problem and a serious alcohol problem and
yes,
having been in that lifestyle for a long time. And as you said, it wasn't really a prayer. You just kind of cried out to God almost reflexively. But the great thing is God heard that and God responded to that because God doesn't require us to be theologians before he'll talk to us.
Yes,
God heard your cry and sent someone into your life to begin sharing the gospel with you. What a
exactly.
beautiful testimony to what kind of God we serve. You know,
it was a desperate plea. That part was all true.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, God's not some Chinese puzzle that you've got to learn how to work the right way. He is a gracious, merciful, patient, loving God. And he's the one who comes in search of us. When Adam and Eve messed up, they didn't go looking for God. God came in search of man.
Right.
And the beauty of his love down through the generations, reaching out to lost sinners. There's nobody who deserves eternal life. There's nobody who has earned God's love. God reaches out in love to people who are lost. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul tells us that the gospel is that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. So, you know, the fact that that's the kind of God that we serve, that really changes everything because all of a sudden now everybody becomes eligible in terms of a prospect for evangelism. There aren't, right. You know, well, we need to go find some nice folks. We need to go find some folks who have their act together. No, everyone is eligible for us to proclaim the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, you are doing that in the business setting, and we're going to talk in a moment about these commercials, but I want to ask you in a larger context, how has your relationship with Jesus Christ impacted your approach to business? Because here you are chairman of a big company.
Yeah, we ran last year, you know, lead was way up in mm-hmm. price, but we did over $1.5 billion.
So a pretty big company.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. I started when I was a sixth employee.
My goodness. Praise God. God has entrusted you with this tremendous corporate footprint, if you will, and yet he's got hold of your heart and got hold of your mind, so that you are seeking to walk it out in a way that brings honor to him. What are some examples down through the years of where you've faced decisions and you had to decide whether you were going to serve God or mammon?
Well, you know, what's funny, see, the founder of the company was 22 years my senior, and so I was fortunate enough that he made it where I could buy the controlling interest back in 1978.
Wow.
Well, I had become a Christian in 74,
mm-hmm.
and so I was also fortunate in that I became a Christian through a ministry called Search Ministries.
Yes.
And their claim to fame was to try to evangelize and then disciple.
Amen.
And so I had met, I'd been discipled one-on-one for 3 years and then one-on-three for 2 years on a weekly basis, you know, early in the morning thing.
Praise God.
Besides going, you know, to a Bible teaching church and mm-hmm. and studying the Bible on my own and everything. And so anyway, when I took over the company, I thought, well, you know, what I realized was that the scriptures, the instruction and the commission quote that we get is 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't say anything about your job, you know, other than do all that you do as unto Christ.
Amen.
And which I took as my job. You know, it said, don't play eye service.
Right.
Don't just work if somebody's looking, but do all that you do. Well, anyway, so I thought, well, how serious are we going to do this Christ thing? Because, we might get sued. And then I thought, well, we might actually lose some customers.
Right.
Well, we might even lose employees, and mm-hmm. I thought, you know, we could even lose the company.
Yep.
And so I was real concerned about, you know, well, what do I do here? And we were praying, my brother and I, Tommy, and I came across a scripture in Matthew in 10:28. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's right. And it was saying, in essence, don't fear, but it says if you're going to fear, fear him who can do something to you after you're dead.
I think that's the best paraphrase of that I've heard.
Yeah, and so I said, wow, you know, after this meeting, we got another meeting. And so my brother, we just decided that we were going to, we told God that we wanted to do what he wanted us to do. We wanted to try to love him and love people.
Praise God.
And that we just asked him to correct us. Mm-hmm. We said, you know, and we asked him that we would be perfectly bold, but yet perfectly sensitive.
Praise God.
And thank God, you know, he's blessed us all these years now, 30-some-odd years.
That's tremendous. So
that was basically the turning point in trying to honor God with the company. And
yeah.
So we pray, you know, and ask him to bring us employees that he, mm-hmm. would, you know, that he wants us there with us.
And, mm-hmm.
and just go on, you know, and try to make it all happen. And you know, one of the scriptures that really hit me in the last few years that God is, in essence, I feel led to share, and that's mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 1:5,
mm-hmm.
and where it says, the goal of our instruction is,
mm-hmm.
and then it says, love from a pure heart, a sincere faith, and a clear conscience.
Amen.
And I thought, you know, that's the bottom line.
Amen.
You know, that if we can, and so I ask God, I ask him to help me, you know, give me an ever-increasing love for him and others and help me try to live that way. Now, you know, I sin and have to repent. One of my big verses, you know, is 1 John 1:9. You know, if you confess and he forgives us, cleanses us, and we start again.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for his grace and for the fact that salvation is his doing. It is his work. It's not something that, you know, God does a little bit over here and then we do the rest. And, you know, God is the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the Amen. One who takes the blinders off our eyes and grants us the faith to trust him. He's the one who keeps us, and it's based on his promises that we have great comfort and assurance in this life and in the next. When I began to visit your website and look at a little bit of the information there, I saw that at some point in your life, you worked with Interstate in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's where I started on the battery truck over there in 1962.
What part of Tennessee was that?
Memphis.
Memphis. Okay, well, you were on the wrong end of the state, brother.
Yeah, I was over there on the mighty Mississippi, not in that beautiful country where you are.
That's
there.
Right. I'm over here in the mountains of East Tennessee. But
yeah, I'm in the Delta.
Yeah, well, I just want you to know that some of us up here in Tennessee appreciate the fact that your company is not just seeking to sell batteries, and not just seeking to provide a good product, which y'all do, I guess, free endorsement there, but the fact is you're seeking to use your position to honor the Lord, and the result is a blessing to your customers and to your employees, and I really rejoice in that. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I've known many people down through the years who have really been serious about the stewardship of what was entrusted to them. Dear friend of ours in Atlanta, who's been a significant part of this ministry, I asked him to speak to the men's group at our church, and I introduced him as the owner of thus and such a company. When he took the podium, he said, "I appreciate the kind words that your pastor has spoken." He said, "But I need to correct one thing." He said, "I'm not the owner of thus and such company. I am the CEO of the company." Mm-hmm. But he said, "God is the owner." And so, you know, the attitude that he showed and that you have showed with regard to seeking to use the position God's given you in order to serve God, that is one that can permeate our lives, whether we run a landscape company that basically, you know, is helping us earn money for college, or whether we are the head of a giant corporation that does over $1 billion in sales. Whatever our circumstances, we need to realize that we're not the owners. We don't own our bodies. We don't own our relationships. We don't own our time. Everything we are and everything we have belongs to God. But now, let me ask you, Norm, about one more thing. You have been running these commercials, telling people in a nice, sweet, musical way with some animated drawings that what we need is God's love. And then the sign-off there from Interstate Battery Company. Nothing about not being able to start your car in cold weather. Nothing about how your batteries last longer than other people's or have a bigger jump or, you know whatever. It's just talking to people about God and then signing the ad from Interstate Battery. How's the response been to that?
Well, you know, it's been amazingly positive.
Praise God.
We have had more response to that ad than any promotional thing we've ever done. It's just been totally amazing. And what happened is one morning, I can't remember if I was trying to do a quiet time or what, but I just got really burdened with the fact it was a period back like in last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last fall. And where mamas were killing their babies and kids were killing their parents.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like every 2 or 3 hours there'd be this thing on the news. And I got really burdened, and I thought, you know, this is horrible. We need more of God's love, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, nobody's telling them.
Yeah.
If they're not hooked up with a church or know some, quote, aggressive, you know, Christian, they don't know. I said, well, I'm going to tell them.
Praise God.
And so we made that ad and made that commercial.
Yeah.
And it's just been phenomenal.
That's tremendous.
You know, what was funny, we debated somewhat. I can't remember if it was 100% debate, but we debated about whether to put our name on it.
Yeah.
But then what happened is, talking to the advertising agency, they implied that, well, you're going to probably have to put your name on it because the networks are not going to want people to think it's public service.
Well, you're right about that. I'll tell you furthermore, I believe it has greater credibility coming from Interstate Battery than it does coming from XYZ denomination.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now that I run a children's home, when I'm asked by somebody on an airplane or, you know, any number of other settings what I do for a living, and I tell them that I work with children who have been abused and that kind of thing, they lean in toward me and start asking questions. And I get to share the gospel with people all the time.
Right.
When I used to be in the pastorate and people would say, what do you do for a living? And I'd say, I'm pastor of thus and such a church. They would just visibly, you could see them blanch and they'd back up. And so, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, really, you're a preacher? Listen, I've been wondering, can you answer some questions about God or the Bible? No, they did not want to hear what a preacher had to say, because preachers are paid to say such things. But when somebody who isn't perceived as a preacher wants to just share about the love of God, people are interested, because there's hunger in so many hearts for what God alone can bring.
And, well, you know, the great scripture for me is the where God says, you know, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you.
Amen.
I mean, that's the simplest, most, you know, thorough expression of God. And he just says, you know, hey, just draw near to me and I'll draw near to you.
He's a wonderful Lord, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think it is a beautiful witness that God has allowed you to have as you share just, you know, from the heart, what the Lord has done in your life, and use the platform that he's given you as the chairman of a huge corporation to spread the love of God. And I want you to know that you're an encouragement by example. And I hope that many other folks are going to say, you know, I may not be the head of a big corporation, but I am in charge of my own house. I am in charge of this business here, or this department here, or this desk right here. And I'm going to use as much as God has entrusted to me to seek to honor him. And as you said, back in 1978, you prayed with your brother and said, Lord, give us holy boldness and give us sensitivity. And those two things, what a beautiful combination, what a wise prayer. The Holy Spirit guided you in that prayer, because those were two wonderful complementary things to pray for. And I would say the Lord has answered that prayer magnificently over the years.
Well, I can tell you that I'm any good that comes out of me is the grace of God.
Amen.
And I know it.
Amen. Amen. Well, and that's certainly the truth for any of God's children. It is only his life in us that is eternal life. It's his life in us that is abundant life. And that is why God is able to take people from all kinds of backgrounds with all kinds of problems and make their lives not just a testimony to his power to forgive, but his power to transform. Norm Miller, thank you so much for coming on the program with us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. and appreciate your ministry very much, and just pray God's continued blessing.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.